All right. Well, Joe and Becky, thank you for joining us this morning, and great to catch up with you a little bit. Joe and I had a brief chance to visit a Presbyterian meeting back in whenever that was, May, I guess. But so we've got your prayer requests, and Joe, I saw some new or sort of updated prayer requests. You are planning to go to Columbia in July, I guess, for the Presbyterian meeting and so forth. But here comes Heather Carroll. She's also on the Missions Prayer and Care Committee. But so anyway, just kind of give us a personal update on yourselves, Joe and Becky. How are you guys doing there in Greenville, I guess it was. Is that right?
Yes, we are in Greer, really, which is part of the Greenville area. And actually, what we have found since we have been trying to set up here and continue to work in Columbia is that it's been quite a challenge, just the reverse culture shock. On the other hand, we are so enjoying being close to one of our daughters. They live about 10 minutes away. And there we have three granddaughters and really enjoy the time with them. And yet there have been challenges, but all in all, we're doing well. Becky, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Re-entry has involved lots of work. We had things in storage in Franklin, Tennessee, for which we're thankful, quite a bit of furniture. And then, trunks full of things, and we've gone through some of those things, and we've hurt our backs. We're feeling our age. I think when during COVID last year, and we were quarantined here in South Carolina, God, I think, really used all the circumstances of last year to point us towards retiring. And we are thankful for that. We're glad to be making this transition now instead of 3, 4, or 5 years from now when we're older. And we're glad to be here. We sense God's hand upon us.
And well, let me ask then, you're about to complete your D-Men, Joe. And so what's the plan with that?
Yes. Well, that's a very good question. And I'm glad that you brought that up. My dissertation is on how missionaries can train Colombian pastors to plant healthy churches in Colombia into the nations. And this is the story in some ways of seeing how our work with Mission to the World has been standing on the shoulders of faithful men and women who've gone to Colombia many years ago to take the gospel. And specifically, what I'm hoping to accomplish through that is not only to leave with a Colombian church something of a history of what God has done in their own country, but also to help us as Mission to the World going forward. How do we come alongside of local leaders to help them train their own pastors and elders and deacons and other leaders of the church? And how do we be a part of that and be a catalyst of what God is doing in their country and through their country? We're praying that the Colombian church, which we're already seeing, will have an impact not only in their borders, but also throughout Latin America and the world.
So that tells me you're still, you know, retiring, but not really finished.
Yes. our prayer would be that, you know, one of the things, as Becky said, that drew us to this decision is that Colombia now ranks higher than any other country with per capita deaths in COVID. Even as I was in class last night with our pastoral candidates from around the country, we were getting prayer requests from one of our churches of members by name who have had COVID or are family members who have COVID, and many of them in critical condition. So as Colombia is going through the third peak of COVID, as we have been unable to go back to live, A part of my work has been to complete this dissertation, but to continue to work online every Monday night. I, along with the other members of our candidates committee of the Columbian Presbytery, meet with students. We're doing New Testament theology, finishing the Gospels, getting ready to start the Book of Acts, in which we study together, pray for each other, and encourage each other.
Yeah, wow. That sounds like a great way to continue. Let me ask you about the presbytery. I know you're about to go back. I'll ask you, you know, about your trip back in a bit, but does that presbytery extend now to outside the borders of Columbia?
Yes, it does. Just a little bit of the history, and I've been reminded sometimes as we've made a report at Trinity and also with other supporting churches that it's always good to review just briefly. Mission to the World sent a church planting team to Bogota, Colombia. That was really in the 1990s, early 1990s, the very same time that Trinity sent us to Mexico City to be a part of a church planting team. The Lord raised up two churches through the 1990s, but during that time, Colombia and specifically Bogota became increasingly dangerous. Car bombs were being planted, and Mission of the World pulled out all of the missionaries. They left one ordained pastor, Javier Munoz, who is now our Latin American training facilitator. Javier's ministry expanded not only to Bogota, but to helping to start new churches and train new leaders. And now the presbytery that he is the pioneer minister of that presbytery, his ordination was in the year 2000, now has approximately 13 churches, particularly in the mountain areas of Colombia. That would be Medellin, north central Colombia, Bucaramanga, Santander, over to the border with Venezuela. The exciting thing, though, is that that young Reformed Presbyterian Church also is helping in Costa Rica to train pastors there. They trained the first Reformed Presbyterian pastor there, who now is ordained, and he, along with Javier, are training two other pastors. And so we're seeing the same thing beginning. Also, there are invitations to go to other countries. But even last night, ordinarily, we would have men from Ecuador who are with us in our class. And there is an interest in Honduras with our PCA work there to the Colombian church to help train leaders in that country as well. So at present, the very young Reformed Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Colombia is training pastors in other countries.
Very good. Very good. Well, tell us about the presbytery meeting then. You've decided to go, and is that your first time back since pre-COVID or during COVID when you left?
It isn't. I'd like to ask Becky, maybe she can tell you about our quick trip back in, that was actually in October of last year.
Right. We, were in communication with our bosses at Mission to the World, and the decision to retire was made. And here we had been in quarantine for months and also on a brief home ministry assignment. It had been more than a year since we had lived in our house. So it was time to do something about that. We returned to Bogota in October. We were there for 3 weeks. We gave away or sold at giveaway prices everything we owned, except for a wonderful small shipment with Joe's books, my kitchen things, and most everything that hung on the walls, all of our special pictures that we had collected over the years. And we made our way back to the States, and the shipment arrived, And we're very thankful for the things we brought with us. We're also thankful for the things we gave away. Joe sent about 15 or 20 boxes of books all over Columbia. And I thought of the expression tithes and offerings. We had lots of offerings to give to people.
So this will be my first time back after that trip that you described. The Presbytery meeting is still, and we would ask your prayers. The meeting is still on go. That will once a year, the Presbytery or through General Assembly, we have two presbyteries now, but they will meet actually in person. So the idea was coming a little bit out of quarantine and curfews, that they would even have the pastoral candidates who would be with us in Bogota for this meeting. You might know that July 20th is Independence Day. July 20th in Colombia is our July 4th. So Becky and I get to celebrate twice this year. But with that day, the idea was this is a holiday and we will be able to meet together. Some will actually be just flying in from Medellin and from other places for that meeting. But we would ask your prayers, because even though I purchased ticket now and Mission of the World has approved, we have additional layers of approval because of COVID restrictions and the political situation, which I can talk about in a moment in Colombia. That trip was approved. And yet, even we're hearing some of the pastors perhaps have second thoughts about that. Mm-hmm. One of the pastors in Bogota wrote an open letter to our presbyteries. I think we have an open letter circulating around for our General Assembly in the PCA. But this open letter basically is just cautioning people about visiting in the city. Basically, he's urging if this meeting is to go on that we come in, we attend to the business of Presbytery, we meet together, and that those who are not from Bogota leave. So this is a time both because of COVID and because of the political unrest that it's still possible. We would ask your prayers. Maybe this meeting will just be online after all, and hopefully I can use that ticket later in the year. Becky and I are praying that maybe toward the end of the year in the fall, we would be able to go back, maybe even to see our neighbors face to face. And we have many friends in the churches we would like to visit as well. But again, that's all in the Lord's hands right now. It is not a time to go back and to do much visiting because of the high risk of COVID.
Yeah. Wow. And you said you'd mentioned the political situation. That's in the protests that you wrote about in our prayer requests, the strike, national strike. What's the root of that? Is that just kind of a continuation of what's been happening over many years?
You know, I would say obviously it has roots in some of those things, but it has two new dynamics. The greatest impact, besides the loss of life in Colombia and, as we know, around the world of the pandemic, has been economic. There are many families in our churches who no longer have jobs. In general, the unemployment, underemployment, and poverty levels of Colombia, this has, I think I saw something of the per capita of those who are now in a poverty level has greatly increased. So President Duque, the president of Colombia, had proposed a major tax overhaul. It sounds a little bit like some of the things that we have heard in our own country. And yet, instead of that being accepted by the population, there was a major revolt. The unions began to call for a national strike. As always, the students and many other interest groups got involved. There has been violence in several cities, a number of deaths. And so it seems like this is somewhat stable at this point, kind of on hold. But still there is concern that there will be more blockades and more protests.
And how about the Venezuelans? They were all flooding to Colombia for a while. I've heard some of them are going back now.
Yes, yes, they have. There was as many as 3 million Venezuelans who were in Colombia because of the fact that they are probably those who, because of the economy in Colombia being so low and people being quarantined, some of them have even tried to go back. And yet that situation has become more complicated as now there is fighting between Colombian rebels who have taken refuge in Colombia. In Venezuela, and between the army and Venezuela. So those, that's a long story, but those who, the Colombian or the Venezuelan, I've twisted this around. Let me start again. This is the Colombian groups like the Armed Revolutionary Forces, who for many years, Venezuela said, we're not in Colombia. And of course, we all knew that they were, I'm sorry, I'm twisting it once again. These are Colombian Revolutionary Forces who have taken refuge in Venezuela. The Venezuelano government, back to Chavez, said that they were not there. There were no Colombians here. And of course, we all knew that the Colombians were in Venezuela, these revolutionary armed groups that had fled the Colombian army were in Venezuela. And now we see that there is fighting between these Colombian armed groups who are involved in drug trafficking with the army in Venezuela, especially at the border. Mm-hmm. So recently we've had a whole wave of people from Venezuela, families at the border who have fled into Colombia once again. Mm-hmm. It was very sad to hear the interview of a mother who was telling her children where they wouldn't be afraid when there was a gunfire or a missile overhead, that it was probably thunder. Wow. We have churches along that border, and our presbytery. And again, they are literally trying to reach out and help people, both those who have fled from Venezuela into Colombia, as well as they have helped to start a church in that area as well on the side of Venezuela.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Situation. Very tough. Very tough. Let me ask questions, anyone.
Do you see any calming down of the tension down there anytime soon? Between the two countries and in the countries?
Mm. That is a very good question. And I think that the answer of everything that I have read, both in the national news in Colombia, as well as in international news looking into Colombia, is wait and see. There are indications some days that this is calming, but I think that the underlying problems, as one of you said earlier, this is not new. There is a book that I've used in my studies on the history of Colombia and missions, and it's called Colombia, A Land of Conflict and Promise. And of course, it points out that even in pre-Hispanic times, there were many conflicts in Colombia. And yet, a land of promise. You know, back at the time in which our president at that time won the Nobel Peace Prize, he promised an end to the fighting between Colombian rebels and the government of Colombia. And yet that did not bring peace at all to Colombia. And so it's a land of promise because of the gospel, because we know of families there. Many of them are young families with small children who are training their children for Christ. There are healthy churches that are reaching out in the communities, and Trinity has been a part of that. And that is where the promise comes. The promise is that one day there will be peace in Colombia, but that will not come from the government, but it will come from Christ, the Prince of Peace.
And I think one exciting aspect of that has been just in small ways, we have been able to encourage Christian education. If children do not grow up knowing how to think biblically, with growing up not knowing that all of life is religious and King Jesus rules and reigns over all, you can't expect change. That hope and that promise isn't there without biblical teaching, without biblical thinking, without God really keeping hearts tender towards him. And we had the privilege of having several conferences in Bucaramanga and Bogota, encouraging young families to give their children an education that is Christian. I cannot tell you how many books we left in Colombia that we know our friends will use and benefit from. I do remember when Joe and I were first married in 1979, living in Montgomery, and I taught school part-time at Trinity Presbyterian School. And just the impact of that year and then educating our own daughters at home and being in charge of many, many classes that they had outside of the home as well. We have a very high view of education that is Christian for Covenant Kids, and that is happening in Colombia today. So that gives us a lot of hope and promise for the future.
Yeah.
Are you seeing a growing homeschool movement there? And that's, I guess that's what you're saying.
Oh, yes. And
go ahead.
Outside of the Reform community is larger and stronger, but I heard mixed things about how they were doing. I think we as Reform believers have the advantage of good theology and the sovereignty of God over all of life, and I think good things are happening in and without, inside and outside of the Reform community in Christian education, but it is definitely a growing movement.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. What else? We would like to go to prayer, but I don't want to stop. If you're about to say something else, Joe, tell us what else you'd like to share with us.
Becky put a kind of a face with one of the prayer requests and telling you about the young families who are teaching their children. And I wanted to mention, just this week, I received a message from one of the pastoral candidates who hopefully will be ordained this year. And he is already and has been involved for years in pastoral ministry. He and his wife, I have been in their home. They have two sons. And one of their sons, basically this weekend had an anxiety attack, in which he is now hearing almost every day the names of people that he knows who have either died of COVID, who are in intensive care. They're people that his father is seeking to minister to. And so it finally got to this young boy, the fear that any of us would have in that situation. We have heard of another one of the pastors who has COVID, who had to have oxygen taken to his house this week. His wife is 5 months pregnant with their second child, and she has COVID as well. So this is a time, as we were reminded last night in class, that we need to actually live our faith of trust in God, of praying for each other and supporting each other. And we would ask you to pray for that, that these would be gospel opportunities, both for covenant children, like this young boy that was just very much afraid as every time the phone would ring. And, but also it would be gospel opportunities for those who don't know Christ. We recently were with a family from Columbia here in our home in South Carolina. And at least the wife and daughters are not believers. They are here in the United States to be vaccinated, actually. She's a physician. But what we want people to understand everywhere is that our greatest threat is not the pandemic. It's not COVID. The greatest threat is that we all have a terminal disease. And we will die in our sins unless we come to know Christ. And so pray that this will be an opportunity that the gospel will go forth as never before.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah, maybe with that, we will go to prayer. And I'll ask Bubba if you'll start us, but others, men, you're welcome to pray as well. And I'll close it up.
Lord, we're just thankful this morning that we can get together with Joe and Becky and hear about their ministry and what's going on. But they remind us that King Jesus is in charge, and it's all about a relationship with him, and that's what the ministry is all about. In these very difficult times, not only in Colombia and Venezuela, but then it's all over the world. It's even right here. There's just such a concern about what's going on, and so many people are drifted so far. So I pray that the Presbytery meeting will go on whatever way you want it to go on, but then you can encourage these pastors and encourage the children there and the schooling. As Becky reminds us, it is so important that we train our children in the Christian values and biblical values, that they will know Christ very early, and they will know right from wrong. And that just applies to all of us. So we're thankful that King Jesus is in charge. We're thankful that he rules in our lives, and we pray that we can be an impact in Columbia and around the world, right here in Montgomery, Alabama, Lord, that we would see people coming to Christ. So even through this difficult time and the COVID, Lord, that it would be used to draw people to you. And be with Becky and Joe as they are in there. Retirement, a transition for them, and just give them peace and your comfort as they transition. So we just thank you again for being with them this morning, and I pray this in Christ's name.
Dear Lord Jesus, you are the way and truth and the life. No one can come to you except from you, Father. But Father, we pray and ask you to send on your own Holy Spirit to penetrate and draw people in Colombia to you. Because there's no other name under heaven given that we can be saved except through him. And Lord Jesus Christ, our Jehovah Rapha, we pray for your healing hands, because you are a healer, to cure, help Colombian residents, people, to fight this COVID. But the most important thing, Father, we pray for the salvation for them. Please redeem them, because every lost soul is cherished, precious in your eyesight. Please include as many lost souls in your redemption plan for the whole human being as possible. Thank you, Father. You are Alpha and Omega. You are infinite, almighty, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, loving, kind, gentle, merciful, gracious, slow to anger. Father, I don't have all the words to describe your attributes, but I do know how great thou art, great is thy faithfulness. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, pray for Joe and Becky and the impact they make in Colombia and in the Latin countries. And we pray, oh God, that only through the Holy Universal Church of Jesus Christ can we transcend and supersede all the violence and the revolutions and things that infecting so many countries today. Pray that your Holy Spirit will move in those countries and in our country to get back to the basic fundamental principles that Christ laid down for us. We pray that you'll be with us and bless us as we are attempting to bring peace to the world. In Christ's name we pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the visit with Joe and Becky. And we ask for grace for them with their transition into retirement. Father, we do pray for the work that has been done that in Colombia, that it will grow and mature, that we pray for the protection of your people, the stability of the local churches. And we ask that it would, the gospel will permeate more and more into the country and even spilling over to the neighboring countries, and that that which cannot be achieved politically or perhaps militarily will be achieved in the gospel. Mm-hmm. And that your light will scatter the darkness, mm-hmm. that where there is dissension and fractions of people, that they would be unified under the banner of the gospel. We pray for your mercy on them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for Joe and Becky and for their faithful service to you in many ways over the years, beginning here at Trinity, or at least for what I know here at Trinity and in Mexico and in Colombia. And now as they continue, even with what you have for them in the future in their retirement and yet continuing to serve you. I pray that they would know your hand at work, in their lives, in them and through them. Thank you for, the work of the presbytery there in Colombia and these pastors and the churches that are there. I pray that you would continue to strengthen them, and that they would be strong in the face of COVID and the national turmoil that's happening now and has continued in other ways for many years. Lord, we can only pray for peace that, that you can give, you alone can give, through these, the revolutionaries and the narco traffickers and the cartels and just so many other elements of a society, of a culture, that needs the gospel. Individual people need the gospel. Lord, make them, help them be strong, in these churches as they suffer through COVID now. We pray for the, just the workers in the national healthcare system, that they would have the resources as they're taxed very heavily to provide, healthcare to people who are ill and people who are dying, and that you would use this in a way that would turn this, this country to you in a way that's never been witnessed before. We thank you, Father, for those families who are faithful, those churches who are faithful, ministering to refugees, ministering to other people, across that, that country. Continue that work, I pray, and that, that Joe and Becky again would know your hand at work in them and through them, as they continue to glorify you. All these things, we give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, thank you once again, Joe and Becky. Great to see you.
Good to see you all.
Thank you. It's good to see you.
It's wonderful to be with you all today. And one of the things I want to pass along to the Colombian church is that you are praying for them and for us. And we so appreciate that. It's been good to be with you.
Okay. All right. Goodbye.